I need you to open your Bibles with me this morning to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 to 13. And the only time that Jesus thought specifically about prayer, where the disciples, he kept on speaking about us speaking to God, asking God things in his name, you know, but the disciples said, teach us to pray. And he had said how exactly you shouldn't pray, what exactly you shouldn't do, what is exactly expected of you. And then he started in verse 9. Pray then in this way. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, letting go of both the wrong, hallelujah, and the resentment. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And God's people say, Father, we pray that you speak to our hearts this morning. Lord, speak to our hearts. We want to be able to reach out to you. We want to be able to connect with you. And we want to hear you speak to us as well. Thank you, Jehovah. Thank you, Jesus. I just want somebody, can you just bow down your head and say, Lord, speak to me. I want you to really mean it from the bottom of your heart, from the depth of your heart, and say, God, speak to me. God, speak to me. Touch me, Jesus. Touch me, Jesus. Do what only you can do. And there is something right now that you want to commit into the hand of God. As much as you're trying to focus, it keeps coming up. It keeps coming up. There's somebody under the sound of my voice right now. There's a deadline that you have to meet, that you are struggling with so much, and you are wondering, does prayer really work? Can God see me? Can God hear me? Can God take care of this? And God is saying, I can hear you. I've got you. And I'm granting your request in the name of Jesus. And I want us to reflect together this morning, amen. In Jesus' name we pray. I want us to reflect together this morning. And I'm going to ask three questions. And I'm not just throwing the questions to you, but I want us to reflect together. So this might be a bit flat-footed from the beginning, but I just need you to walk with me and let's walk it out together, amen. Amen. Because everybody seated under the sound of my voice, everybody I'm speaking to right now, you pray. In fact, I don't believe there's anybody on planet Earth that does not pray. I don't believe so. Albeit consciously or unconsciously, we pray. Albeit religiously, do you understand? Or it's effective, or it is consistent. Do you understand? So it could be daily, it could be weekly, it could be once in a year. Do you understand? Some people, the day they will come and pray is watch night service. I'm trying to look out for how watch night service is going to be this year, December 31st. Do you understand? How many people will be able to gather? Some people, even if they've never been in church and they will not be in church again throughout the next year, they will come that 31st to come and commit the year into the hand of God. Do you understand? So we all pray. But what is the percentage of the prayer that works? And prayer is talking to God and talking to you. Pastor Shega has laid a lot of foundation. So I'm not going to keep, you know, I believe the things Pastor Shega has taught us in the last 3 weeks, if you practice them, then your life cannot remain the same. Am I saying the truth? Do you understand? So we are wondering if he says Elijah is a man of like passion. He prayed for there not to be rain for 3.5 years, and it was so. Then he prayed, let there be rain, and it was so. Amen. And he says that your prayer is effective and powerful and makes tremendous power available, just like the prayer of Elijah. Then we need to reflect. Because the first thing I'm going to ask you this morning is, what impact has your prayer made lately? And I don't want us to just gloss over. I think, what impact has your prayer made lately? Who have you been speaking to the most in recent times? If prayer is talking to God and God talking to you, who do you talk to the most? Other men? Yourself or God? That's number two. When you're talking to men, so you live in the house with your husband or your wife. You have a brother, you have a sister. We chat. In fact, somebody right now, not you, it's not you. It might be your neighbor. It might be somebody at home. He's chatting right now. We are supposed to be in service. It's talking. It's communication. Do you understand? We talk to our children. We talk to our friends. We chat. But who are you talking to the most? I'm not saying don't talk. I'm just saying, what is the volume of the conversation you are having with God and yourself? Is it about you asking yourself questions? Are you worrying? Do you have doubts? Do you have struggles? Are you rehearsing things again and again? Or are you talking to men, looking to men, looking more and focusing on what men can do for you? What men can, do you understand? Listening more to CNN, the facts, the research, do you understand? Or you are talking to God. Are you talking more to God? If he's the most important being and the most important factor, are you looking and talking more with men? Or when you are in your quiet moments, does God have a space there? Or it's all filled with the thoughts of men and the thought of self and the thought of what you can do for yourself and the thought of what men can do for you? Or you are actually having conversations with God? The Bible says Abraham was a friend of God. The Bible says Enoch walked with God and was not. The Bible says that Jesus Christ said to the disciples, stay ye here as I go up to pray. Who have you been talking to more? Even when we gather to pray, even when we prayed this morning and Mrs. Daniel was holding the mic and shouting, you understand? Even right there at home, was it important for you to have a conversation with God? Are you thinking this morning? Are you reflecting? Because I really want you to take your time to think about it. Number three, what has been the nature of your conversations? Is it faith-based? Is it word-based? Hallelujah. Or is it filled with fear, apprehension, sense of inadequacy? Hallelujah. Looking at where the figures of the infection of coronavirus rising, or the fact that the inflation right now is above 13%. Amen. There are conversations we need to have. Do you understand? You cannot have inflation at 13.2, you know, something, I think as of yesterday, and have the banks giving interest for savings accounts at 1.25 and not hold those conversations. If you're an adult right now, and what I just said is lost on you, keep looking straight, but just know that I am not all spirit Jim Jim and not rubber meeting the road. I need to have conversations. I need to plan for my children. I need to speak with my husband. We need to look and analyze things. But at the end of the day, I need to know that I am a spirit being. I live in this world, but I'm not of this world. Do you understand? Do you understand? I live by faith and not by sight. I know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen. And I know that men can do what they can do, but God will do what he can do. Men can do, listen to me, what they can do. You cannot say men will do what they can do. But I serve a God that would always do what he can do. The Bible says the nature to lie is not in him. It is not possible. So I would rather hold conversations with him. I would rather hold conversation based on his word, based on his promise. I would rather let my conversations overflow from the conversations I've had with him. So the conversation I have with God is more important to me, and I make sure that it overflows into the conversation I have with my husband, I have with my wife, I have with my children, I have with my boss. Do you understand me? I have with my investment banker. I have with my friend. Because that is the most important thing. What impact has your prayer made lately? Who have you been speaking with the most? Some of us, we talk to, we talk too much. Empty chatter. Do you understand? And we're praying about the fact where my words will carry weight. Where I'm not just moving numbers around. Where every conversation that I hold makes a difference. Why would I talk to my husband about it when he doesn't have a solution? Why would I keep bouncing things off my boss when I know that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord? Esther did not show up in the palace to just go and say, my king, help me, what is happening? She first of all showed up for 3 days and three nights, fasted and prayed, and sought the face of the one that matters, the one that moves the world. When God said go, then she gathered herself together as if it was about the makeup and about the royal regalia and showed up in the presence of the king. And the king stretched forth his scepter. I came to tell you that the most important conversations you would ever hold, and if you look back, that you have ever held, is the conversations that God has held with you. Amen. And so since we know that your prayer makes the difference, and you have to know without a doubt that your prayer makes a difference, then you need to be intentional about the impact you want your prayer to make, about who you're going to have the conversations with, God the most. As you speak to yourself and you speak to men, you are speaking to them the overflow or the outcome of the conversations that you have had with God. And most importantly, the nature of your conversations, it brings life. It brings increase. It brings manifestation. The Bible says whatever Adam called the animal, that was what they were named. Do you understand? I don't know how many people under the sound of my voice are tired of empty gist, empty chatter, rehearsing the same thing again and again. I don't know how many people want to know that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus, and he has said, greater works will you do in his name. So when you speak, the Bible says that when you say yes on earth, yes already in heaven. It's not saying yes was said in heaven, then you say yes or not. No. What the scripture says is you say yes, heaven says yes. You say no, heaven says no. I want everybody to get to the point. Imagine every believer on planet earth can truly stand and speak, and the word they speak stands. Imagine what the word would be. Oh, strike that. Let's come to you. Imagine you. Every time you speak, what you say comes to pass. How would the world be? And Jesus is saying, being effective in your prayer, this is how you pray. Our Father. Our Father. Not our tax master. Not our ATM machine. Not the God that we are not sure that is faithful. Our Father. The God that loves deeply the way nobody can love me. The God that cares to every detail the way nobody ever can. The God that looks out for me even more than I look out for myself. I know that facts are presenting themselves, and the devil wants me to believe otherwise. But he is my Father. Can somebody whisper this morning, my Father? Come on, I need to hear you say it from the bottom of your heart. Somebody cry out to God this morning, say, my Father. Come on, I need to gather your loins together like you mean business. Remember, we said that your prayer makes a difference. You're not just saying what Pastor D is telling you to say this morning. I need you to say, my Father. And somebody is calling on, is our Father this morning, over that child, over your country, over your health, over that sense of inadequacy that you're struggling with. The Bible says, our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I came to tell you this morning, always approach God, acknowledging who he is. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? I'm not saying that you're not struggling. I'm not saying that there are no challenges in the world. Do you understand? I'm not saying that you have not been disappointed again and again. I'm not saying that you don't have that feeling that things can work better. I could have done better. Do you understand? But I'm saying you serve a God that is faithful. Amen. You serve a God that is the unchangeable changer. Do you understand me? The Bible says, heaven and earth may pass away, but not a dot of his word will pass without being fulfilled. Do you understand? He is called El Shaddai, the multi-breasted God. So whatever way he needs to provide for you, if it's not available, he can make it available just for you. Do you understand? The God that leaves the 99 to go after the one, and you are that special one, not the person beside you. Not somebody else that is righteous. If the Bible says that your righteousness is like filthy rag, the God that sent his one and only begotten son to come and die for you. And he looked out for you even before you were born. Somebody say, my Father. And he's in heaven. He's in heaven. Kaya baba satara baba. He's in heaven. The earth is a footstool. So whatever is being moved around on earth does not determine who he is. Circumstances does not determine who he is. He's the same God that parted the sea before the Israelites. And then the Egyptians tried to go through the dry land, and he brought the sea together, and they drowned in it. Somebody say, my Father. Come on, somebody say, my Father. Somebody say, my Father. And Pasheg was talking about it last week. There is a way we have our own children, the 5-year-olds, the 4-year-olds, they are more confident in us and our ability and what we can do than we are confident in what our Father does. When you approach him as your Father. He has a soft spot towards you. He's looking out for you. It's working everything together for your good. Hallowed be your name. And let who he is saturate your consciousness. But because we are not saturated with the personality of God, with the identity of God, with who God is, with what, do you know, we're looking more for what he can do than who he is. Do you understand? A lot of times when we even approach God, we can't even worship rest. So the first place we need to be is, what is your agenda? Do you understand? And remember, I said at the beginning of this message, you are in this world, but you are not of this world. Amen. We are supposed to determine by bringing the kingdom of God what happens in the world. Do you understand? So in the church, in the ministry that we'll bring to the world, in the things that we'll do, what is the difference that God has called you, not the person beside you, not me. What is the difference that God has called you to make? Amen. Have a strong desire every time you go to the presence of God for kingdom business to find expression through you. Because there is a unique edge that you bring to the scheme of things. There is the way that you move things and touch things that I can never do. Do you understand me? Are you with me? Amen. We don't have the church to come and watch superstars. Do you understand? In this kingdom that we belong to, we are all calling God Father, and we are all sons. We are all adopted, and we are all representing His kingdom. So, in your place of work, in your home, in everything that you take care of, let the kingdom come. And I'm not going to dwell there too much. I'm going to start pushing ahead because time is of essence. Let your kingdom come. I'm still going to break it together. But let me go to the next thing he said is, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as I started thinking about this message, you know the person that came to my mind strongly? Anna. Anna. Anna made a prayer to God at Shiloh. And the prayer made a difference. And as a result of that prayer, she birthed something that had never been birthed before. Amen. And has never been birthed after her. Have you taken your time to think about it? How many of you know Anna? How many of you know Anna? But did you read in your same Bible? Because I read in my Bible that Anna had come to Shiloh year after year. And when the Bible says year after year, we don't know whether it's 20 years, we don't know whether it's 30 years, we don't know whether it's 15 years, but it was not 1 year, it was not 2 years, it was not 3 years, it was not 4 years, because for the Bible to say she came here and Elkanah had come year after year, they had come to Shiloh, and yet there was no difference. And the Bible says Penina had sons and daughter, but Anna had no son because the Lord had closed her womb. And every year she would cry out to God. Every year she would cry out to God. Every year she would cry out to God. And yet there was no difference. And guess what? The Bible didn't say in their house. So. The Bible says every time she came to the house of God. If you go and check it, 1 Samuel chapter 1. Every time she came to the house of God, Penina would taunt her so much that she would weep and be depressed. Check your Bible. So there's somebody that said, Pastor D, you said prayer works. But what I've done lately, in case you want me to answer those your questions well, I've wept more in my place of prayer. I've gotten tired of talking to God. I'm wondering if God is my father. Maybe he's a father to other people. But I've not experienced God as my father lately. Some people say that God is faithful and is consistent. But I don't know. Left to me. I know I can't say it. But I'm not sure if God is consistent. People say that God is no respecter of persons. But I'm not sure if God considers me the way he considers some other people. If not, why would I be dealing with this? If not, why would I be struggling with this? If not, why would this not be working? If not, why would I have to push through the things I need to push through? If not, why won't some things work in my country this way? But the Bible says that year again. Somebody say it's a new season. I need somebody to say it's a new season. That year, she came to Shiloh, and as usual, it looked as if it was as usual. Penina taunted her. Amen. And the Bible says she was in so much grief and anguish, and she cried. And Elkanah said to her, why are you weeping? Why are you grieving? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? And there is somebody under the sound of my voice, whatever you're dealing with right now, your struggles, your questions, nobody understands. Even the closest people to you, if you try to explain it to them, they cannot get you. And really, in as much as Anna had what she was looking to God for, there was the provision of God, there was the love of God, because Elkanah gave her double portion every year. So God is saying, look around you. You are focused at what you don't have. But have you checked lately what I am saying to you? what I am doing for you. I am preserving you. The Elkanahs that you have. But beyond that, Anna was ready to push beyond the level of holding conversations with men, of holding conversations with herself, looking down on herself, seeing how Penina was looking down on her, getting solace from Elkanah. And immediately Elkanah said that she didn't talk too much. The Bible says she wiped her tears, put on her cloth, refreshed herself, and she showed up in Shiloh. But this time around, it was not the same Hannah. I came to tell you this morning that in case you feel your prayer has not been working, your prayer might look as if it has not changed your circumstance, yes, but your prayer and your time with God, since prayer is fellowship with God, God talking to you, you talking to Him, has been changing you, has been shifting things inside you. And the more things are shifting inside you, you have been gathering strength in your loins, and you are about to shift things right now. But God needs you to believe in Him. And the Bible says in verse 9, when the sacrifice had been offered and they had eaten the meal, hallelujah, Anna got up and went to pray. Eli was sitting in his chair near the door to the place of worship. Anna was heartbroken and was crying as she prayed. But the first thing she said is, Lord, all powerful. Some translation says the Lord of hosts. Some translation says Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts, the Lord of heavenly armies, the God that surrounds you. But when He surrounds you, He does not show up alone. He shows up with the whole of His resources. He shows up with the whole of heaven. Where He needs to fight for you, He fights for you. Where He needs to back you up, He backs you up. Where He needs to suit you, He suits you. Where He needs to strengthen you, He strengthens you. So Anna acknowledged the Lord's prayer and had that experience before Jesus Christ was coming, thousands of years later. So in spite of her brokenness, in spite of her anguish, she called God by His name, acknowledged who He is, and said, Lord, all powerful, I'm your servant. But I'm so miserable. Who have you been talking to lately? I believe that's what the Bible says. But I believe what she was saying is, I am your servant. You are not miserable. I cannot be miserable. Amen? Please, what I'm asking of you is not too much. Let me have a son. Can you put your request, your life goals, your dream, if it's in a sentence, it's in sentences, what exactly do you want? Let's break it down. You want a job? You want a new car? You want to start your business? You want, just think about it right now. Start writing the list. We all have prayer lists, right? For everybody that's been praying every day. Do you understand? She said it in simple terms. Let me have a son. I promise to give him to you for as long as he lives, and his heir will never be caught. And that prayer shifted things. Because at that point in time, Anna touched God where God needed to be touched. Anna saw the need of God. Anna saw the agenda of God and put it first and said, let your kingdom come. Israel cannot be without a consecrated prophet. Do you understand me? A figurehead priesthood. Do you understand me? And since this cannot be filled, God, your agenda first, let your kingdom come. So when Jesus is saying, pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as is in heaven, people say, Pastor D, why are we pushing the mandate of the church? Why are we pushing? How can I push the agenda of God right now? You don't understand. I don't have food on my table. There are some things I'm struggling with. My mind is not even together. God is saying, if you find my agenda, if you find my will, and you find yourself embedded in it, and it's all that you are breathing, and it's all that you are pushing, I'm going to go out of my way and move things for you. Let your kingdom come. Eli was sitting there, but Anna connected with God the way no priest at that time could connect. Hallelujah. What she was asking for was supposed to be impossible. She was not from the lineage of the Levites. Do you understand? But ask and ye shall be given. And you know, so that I don't bore you, Eli saw the way she was praying, and he had never encountered before, and said, "What are you doing? Are you drunk?" And she said, "No, I'm not drunk. But I've gotten to a point where I'm tired of holding empty conversations with men." Well, maybe not empty. Holding conversations more with men and with myself. So this year, this time around, this season, I've come to have a conversation with God. And I want that conversation to shift everything around me. So I've decided to make his agenda my agenda. I've decided to represent his will on planet Earth. And God has spoken to me. Did you see that in your Bible? If you have read that story before, did she say that much to Eli? She didn't say those details. She didn't even say what she prayed for. She just said, "Your servant," do you understand, "is praying from anguish, and I was only pouring out my heart to God." When was the last time you really poured out your heart to God more than you have poured out to man? When was the last time, as you are asking God, you are not calculating according to your bank balance, calculating according to your network, calculating according to your investments? When really are you really approaching God for who he is, what he can do, what his agenda is, and be particular about perpetrating and saying, "God, find expression through me in the earth"? And how he wants to find expression through you is different from how he wants to find expression through me. And as I round up this morning, I want to say to you, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, ERV. It says, "What you should want most is God's kingdom and doing what he wants you to do. Then he will give you all these other things that you need." Anna put ahead of her need. In as much as she did not take for granted her need, but she put ahead the agenda of God, the will of God, and God said, "You got it. Now let your womb open." She not only got a prophet, the Bible says she had five other sons, five other children. And I want you to be able to birth things in your prayer. I want your prayer to make a difference. But beyond what I want, God is waiting on you to stand as an Anna in this generation. Stand as a Esther in this generation. Stand as a David in this generation. That as you arise in the morning, you lift your voice and say, "Father, I give you praise. I thank you. I give you praise. I exalt you. We acknowledge you for who you are." Consistently, even when everything within you is crying, you are giving God praise. Hallelujah. And then beyond that, how exactly would I establish? Let my life show forth your kingdom. Let my life show forth your will. Make up your mind to build up capacity in your fellowship with God to be able to model his precepts and his values. Build capacity to be able to model his precepts and his values. And as you come before God, you know, by the time we say, "Your will be done, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as is in heaven," it makes me remember Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, that says, Paul says, "I continue to pray for your love to grow and increase beyond measure, bringing you into the rich revelation of spiritual insight in all things. This will enable you to choose the most excellent way." Somebody said, "The most excellent way." So other people can be making mistakes around you, but it's not your portion. Why? Because you've been talking to the Most High King. Other people might not know what to do. You know what to do. Why? Because you have made his kingdom your business. Other people might be struggling with other things. Oh, no, you don't struggle with other things. Because why? You reflect God like never before. Hallelujah. You have rich revelation of spiritual insight into all things. And I remember God saying, "Abraham, my friend, will I do something and keep a secret from Abraham?" God is saying, "I want to give you secrets to eating things. I want to push you beyond what you're asking for." Anna wanted just a son. God said, "You are going to birth me a prophet. You are not only going to birth me a prophet, I'm going to silence every Penina around you. Do you understand? I will not only silence Belinda. I will not keep you at the level. Elkanah will come to realize that the son that you birth is worth more than he that feels, am I not better to you than 10 sons? Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I want to make a difference in this generation. I want to shift things in this generation. Like Esther, I am created for such a time as this. And I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to stand with my brothers. I'm going to stand with my sisters. I'm going to look beyond my need. I'm going to look beyond my struggle. I'm going to give God an offer that he cannot refuse. I'm going to make a difference that people will keep talking about. And by the time I'm done with God, and God is done with me, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, beyond what anyone can ever ask, think, or imagine, is what I'm pressing into. Give us this day our daily bread. Be authentic and look to God for every essential need. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts. Yes, I've made mistakes. Yes, I could have done better. Yes, there are some things I could have adjusted. But as you pray to God, God is saying, I want you to give me the impact of your limitation. I want you to entrust me with the consequences of your limitation and your failings. And I want to take care of it. And as you pray to me and acknowledge that I'm your father and raise me above every situation and you're particular about my agenda and you're particular about pleasing me, and you truly look to me as your source. I am the hand that moves things around in the world, and I will move things on your behalf. So I came to tell you this morning, pray, because your prayer moves the hand that moves the world. Do you want to rise on your feet this morning?